Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And again, difficult subjects coming up. Hi, Eileen. Good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. And you begin your... My addiction to sweets is ruining my life.
Yes, exactly, Joe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It started when I was about... We had a sweet shop and a grocery shop. And I was very good as a young growing up until about sixth class. But when it came to teenagers then, I began eating the sweets in the shop, all the chocolates and stuff that I really liked. Mm-hmm. But I think it really kicked in when I came to about 18. And there was a whole slimming club started. And I joined it. And I did lose weight. But what I think it's only in the last 2 years I discovered that it was the weighing scale that has really put me over the edge, if you know what I mean. It will top me on the weighing scale in the morning, dinner or evening. And as you know, with weight, your weight fluctuates throughout the day.
Yeah.
And when my weight, when I would come off the weighing scale, we'll say at dinner, then I'd see I would be maybe a pound or two. So then I would go back into the shop and I'd start eating more sweets. And I just love sweets. I mean, I could tell you all about sweets, the nice sweets and the not so nice sweets. So I've tried everything. So that's really, and I've tried all the slimming clubs and they did work. And I would not them at all. I've done all that down through the years. My age now is 66.
Okay.
So here I am at 66, battling with it all the time. I didn't do the throwing up, you know, put my fingers back my throat. I've never done that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I have gone to all the swimming clubs and they have worked. But it's come to the stage where I'm tired of being tired, Joe, of dealing with my... With my weight. Do you know what I mean? It's an ongoing battle. I start off in the morning, I'll have sweets in a cup. My husband wouldn't even see them in a cup and I'd be picking at them all day.
Yeah.
Do you know? So, and the point is, when I rang yesterday, I heard the other two girls that were on.
Yeah.
And really, there's help out there, you see, for the Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's help for the gambling. But there's really no help for someone like me because the swimming clubs no longer work for me. Hanging the dress on the wardrobe don't work for me. Putting a nice picture of myself up don't work for me anymore. I have a couple of weddings coming up. We'll say hopefully my daughter's getting married next year.
Okay.
And I have a whole communion in September. And nothing is working for me to get motivated to do it because I've been there and done that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know,
Aileen, when you say it's ruining your life, and you, as you say, you have a sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm.
How is it ruining your life? Or expand on how it's ruining your life.
Well, to be honest, Joe, it's ruining my life, but it's constantly in my thoughts. Sweet things are constantly in my thoughts, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I remember saying to friends of mine, going back, I said, maybe if I was hypnotized, maybe I could get to the root cause. But it's only, as I said to you, it really in the last 12 months, 2 years, I discovered it was the weighing scale for me. It was hopping on it and not realizing that really the weighing scale, you should only go on it, we'll say, once a week, maybe with the same clothes, the same time. But I was hopping on it two or three times in the day.
Mm.
And that really triggered all these years of... I have lost weight, Joe. I've lost loads of weight.
Okay.
And the swimming clubs have been very good to me. But I was so desperate, I even went to my doctor and I had an appointment to get the gastric bands put in.
Yeah. And what did you do?
No, well, you see, I had to fill up a questionnaire first and put on all the things and then my weight. And he didn't even see me because I wasn't big enough. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't heavy enough to do it, you know. But it's just a battle every day for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the first week of lockdown, I was eating, this is a funny story, you know. Mm. The first week of lockdown, I was eating a Curly Wurly watching television. Do you know those Curly Wurlies?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was pulling at the Curly Wurly and my front tooth fell out. Wow. And it was within days of the first week of the lockdown. But I was glad I had the masks to cover the teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm basically saying is really... Yeah.
I know normally, you were saying there are guidelines when you're interviewing people who have anorexia and bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case, you're saying that you believe your problem is just that you have a sweet tooth and it's primarily for chocolates. Cakes or pastries or...
Yeah, at the moment, it's chocolate buttons. It could be, it can vary. We'll say chocolate polo biscuits, you know, cones, ice creams, tastes. It can be anything. Anything. I'm an expert on a bar of chocolate. Like my favourite chocolate would be the Cadbury's Dairy Milk bar of chocolate, and they have got so small over the years. Two squares today is equivalent to one square when I was growing up. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
But
it is an Irish chocolate. Irish chocolate made with Irish chocolate crumb from Cork is absolutely gorgeous. It's nicer than any chocolate in the world. But what does your doctor say? Does your doctor regard it as a medical problem, your sweet tooth?
I don't think so, no. Okay. I mean, I was at the doctor now yesterday and I told him about it. And they're so busy now, Joe, you see, with COVID and everything, that even my own, he just gave me the name of a book to read. But I mean, I have done all these things. I've read all these books. And it's just not working for me anymore. I just don't know where to turn to, if you know what I mean.
So you're fed up with your addiction to chocolate.
And as I say, Joe, it's not just chocolate. It can be...
Okay, pastry, sweet things.
Yeah, it's just a sweet thing. I mean, at the minute, I know that we're into the season of ice cream cones, and I absolutely love them. At the moment as well, it's the old-fashioned sherbet longo. Do you know the powder sherbet in the bag?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, my God, I absolutely love them. So it can be... those things today, and it could be another sort of sweet thing tomorrow or next week, you know what I mean? Like, but it's just that, where do I go to? I'm 66 and I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of this eating, you know?
Yeah. You're fed up with it.
Absolutely, no, totally fed up with it. Because health-wise, I'm slowing down. I mean, I got rights and both hips and...
Well, 66 is young. But Eileen, if you didn't have chocolate in the house...
Oh, sure. Joe, I'm a woman of extremes. I can be very good. I could go 3 months and not touch a bar of chocolate.
Brilliant.
And I could go 6 months. And I have done that down through the years. I have done it. And, you know, in these slimming clubs, they will tell you, you should treat yourself. You're entitled to a sweet thing. But in my case... If I were to have a square of chocolate, that's not good for me because I go into the second square and then
A lot of people say that. You know, I open a packet of biscuits and they say once I have one biscuit, I can't stop. And
yeah. But you see, the thing is like, would you say that to an alcoholic? You've done so well now. You could have a glass of whiskey or something. I'm in the same boat. I cannot have that sweet thing. If you know what I mean. But I know I have the willpower I had the willpower to do it all along. But I'm getting tired of it. I'm just really getting tired of the whole thing, the whole shebang of it, as they call it.
And why, and I know it has worked, and Keith Barry is brilliant at this, but hypnosis, why do you think it would work?
Well, that was the last resort, I remember saying to a friend, because I never really knew why I was doing it. And I just thought that people have gone to hypnosis,
yeah,
or gone to, and
for warps,
give
you
up smoking, and it works, give you up the cigarettes and all that.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just thinking that would it work for me? I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. Say with us, Eileen.
Okay.
joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Somebody just told us that we've had contact from someone connected with the Gardaí, and the video of our caller, David. No, it was Andrew, wasn't it? Andrew, remind me. John, he went by John. That John who was pushed off his bike up on the Sally Gap, the video has gone viral. The guys who were in the car videoed them pushing John as they sped along, one of them almost sitting on the sill of the passenger window, reaches over and pushes John into the ditch. And apparently in the video, you can see John tumble in the ditch. And he told us the fright he got, two, the injuries he could have got, three, that he could have ended up in the ditch where nobody could see him. It was a very quiet road. And four, that because of he was a seasoned cyclist, there must be a name on them, those shoes you wear which are locked into the pedals, he was wearing them and he was caught on the bike, so to speak. Anyway, we'll do more on that later on, but it's horrific, apparently, the video. But it's John said that's the reason why these couriers were doing it. They were doing it to video it and nearly killed them. And yesterday on the programme, we were contacted by Aoife and Roisin, both of them, as it happened, psychology graduates, they're students at different stages. And both of them spoke about their dysfunctional relationship with food, and it was quite harrowing. Now, Eileen has contacted us from Kerry, and she believes she has a dysfunctional relationship with sweet things, and she's been talking about that since the age 16, 17, 18, and she's now 66. And she said she's absolutely fed up with it and wants to try and knock it on the head, as she has before for 3 or 6 months, which is brilliant. Now we've been contacted by Eimear Gilroy. Eimear, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Now, you have a dysfunctional relationship with food. Is that fair to say?
I would say I had a very dysfunctional relationship with food. At the moment, I'm past that.
Okay.
The reason I contacted you was, I think when it comes to an eating disorder, for me, an eating disorder is a distressed or a destructive relationship with food. So that could be overeating or it could be undereating. Usually we think of an eating disorder and either undereating or bulimia, you know, making yourself sick or whatever. And I can understand that there are limited resources in hospitals, and, you know, it's a very difficult thing to go through. But just from my own experience, I really think that unless you're willing to kind of look inwards and take a bit of responsibility for making the change, I don't think there's any therapist or counsellor or hospitalisation that is going to be able to fix you, because the only person who really can fix you is yourself. So if you decide enough is enough. Now, that might sound a bit harsh, Joe, but I'm speaking from experience. I had an eating disorder, a very dysfunctional relationship with food for 10 years. I mean, I currently am paying for the sins of the past. I've had my lower left leg amputated, missing a few toes on my right foot, I'm on dialysis, you know. So I am now currently trying to tell people, think to the future, okay? What you're doing at the moment, think 10 years' time or even 4 years' time, and everything that you'll miss out on and all the difficulties that you'll have if you don't just say to yourself, right, look, enough is enough, I want to get over this.
But Eimear, you've lost a limb, did you see?
I've lost part of a limb, my lower, below the knee of my left leg, yes. I'm diabetic, which is part of the issue because I have a eating disorder related, or I had an eating disorder related to diabetes. So that has led to mm-hmm. some major health issues for me. 10 years ago, my doctor warned me this will happen, and they were right. And I'm currently, as I say, paying for the sins
and
of the past.
On dialysis. And, mm-hmm, and was there a name on your food dysfunctionality?
Well, there is. It's kind of a made-up name. It's called diabulimia. So I don't want to be giving people ideas now
because there's no point
giving the information to people and then they go out and do something ridiculous. But you're basically using your diabetes to stay thin. If you have no strict control over your blood sugar levels, your body will react in a manner that is effective if you want to lose weight or if you want to stay thin, but it does irreversible damage to your body.
Yeah.
That might happen in 10 weeks, it might happen in 10 months, but just, you know, years later, you will pay for it. And I mean, it's the same with all eating disorders. You're starving your body of nourishment. I mean, I had issues with my teeth, my hair was thinning, I had mouth ulcers, cold sores.
Oh, God.
You know, don't feel sorry for me, Jonah. It wasn't
I feel
easy
for you.
To get
I feel
over
for
it,
you. You've already told me you've lost a limb, toes on the other foot, the remaining foot. Acute renal failure, which means mm-hmm. dialysis.
Yep.
But you're well now in terms of the eating disorder. How did that happen? How did that happen?
I just decided. I knew, like, I was tired. Just like Eileen said there, like, I was tired. I was lying to people. I was constantly trying to hide things, constantly being deceptive. Work wasn't going well.
Yeah.
My body, physically, I was breaking down. And because of my diabetes, mm-hmm. I was breaking down to probably quite a large degree. So that's why now I have issues. But I will say this one thing. I made the decision. There was no reason why. Just one day I decided, right, mm-hmm. enough is enough. And that was it. And I haven't looked back since.
But as you say, there's no coming back from the lost limb and the dialysis.
No, there isn't, no. But I mean, I take responsibility for these things happening to me. I think it would be very difficult if, for example, I woke up after an accident and I'd lost a leg.
Hmm.
Or, you know, something terrible had happened. I could feel sorry for myself if that was the case. But it was of my own doing, really.
Hmm.
So I never feel sorry for myself, and I just now try to maintain what I have left and what's working for me.
Okay.
And, you know...
And did you get help, Eimear?
I did. Went to... for different psychiatric help, and I was with counsellors and therapists. My family and friends were wonderful to me, but when through all of that, I didn't want to get better. So I would go for these counselling sessions or whatever, and as soon as I was out the door, that was it done. I'd tell them what they wanted to hear or what I sound, because I can talk the talk if I need to.
And have you any insight in now where you are well?
Mm.
Even though there's irreparable damage onto your body, and kidney can be dealt with if you were lucky enough to have a transplant mm-hmm. or whatever. But now that you have you insight into why you couldn't stop?
It's an addiction, Joe. I think it's like an addiction, and it's the only addiction I have experience in. But I would imagine much like alcohol or even overeating or drugs or self-harm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something you feel you need, and there's no stopping it. There's no getting past it, no matter who you go to, who you talk to, or what hospital you get sent to. Unless you have decided that you are ready to change, I genuinely... Now, maybe I'm totally wrong, and maybe I'm giving off all sorts of terrible vibes to people, but I just think unless you are willing to decide for yourself, I'm done with this.
Okay. Eileen, do you want to come in on the conversation? You're still there, right?
And yes, I am, John. That's exactly what would be my fear. My fear would be that I would get diabetes. And I mean, last year I was at a specialist and I had a blockage in my heart of 30%, and my cholesterol was high, and I'm on blood thinners, and my blood pressure is high, and arthritis in my hips, which thank God hasn't developed really yet. But even all that, and that specialist said to me, come back and I'll be calling you in 12 months and try and lose 2 or 3 stone, he said, like that.
Could I just suggest something to you? I think you sound like you're very harsh on yourself. Mm. And I mean, we're all tempted when, you know, want to take on, you know, resolve to do something different. We want, you know, big results quickly. Now, you're talking about, you know, a communion coming up and a wedding or whatever else is coming up. I would say, you know, set realistic goals for yourself. I mean, you're not going to lose, you know, 3 or 4 stone in a short amount of time. You know, you have to, and like, be kind to yourself. If you're doing well, you lose the weight, you know, bit by bit. But I just think you're very harsh on yourself.
I think so, yeah.
Give yourself credit for at least now you're after ringing Joe and you're after, you know, voicing your feelings.
Maybe I am harsh on myself, and I would be impatient as regards when I would be losing the weight to try and lose it quickly.
Eileen, you spoke about those long periods where you didn't eat sweets. Have you any idea why you did something happen that you started eating sweets again?
You see, it's either all or nothing with me, Joe. I cannot eat that one square bar of chocolate. I'd have to go all the way. And when I put them completely out, and I mean really out, I forget about them. I even know down to 21 days, you know, you lose the craving for things, and I do lose the craving for it. But if I just, let it be 3 months, 6 months, I've done it for a year some other time, if just that one bar of chocolate or a slice of cake or something, that would trigger something in my brain I can't control, and then I'm on that roller coaster again.
Okay. Well, Joe, I'm interrupting you. If I could just say as well to Eileen, you're concerned maybe about developing diabetes at some stage.
Yes.
And I mean, what goes with diabetes, a lot of times people just think, oh, that person can't have sugar.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But it's all the complications that arise from not having good blood sugar control, and that come down the line a little bit. And I mean, you're still a young woman, you're only 66, you know, these are things that you could, you know, most likely prevent. But I mean, if you make the decision yourself that you want to change, you will be able to, but it has to be bit by bit, you know, like day by day. I mean, I will still say, you know, I have to check myself every so often. Now, I can't afford to lose any more toes. I can't afford to have any more damage done to my body. So that is motivation enough for me.
But the addictions one would never say to somebody with a broken arm, ah, come on, cop yourself on. What happened to you and your...
That's right.
I might, Joe.
Eimear, how do you manage? You've lost a leg and toes. I know you say...
I have a prosthetic.
Okay. How does that work out?
It's great. Yeah. It gets me around. No bother at all. I have an automatic car, and my uncle adapted my car for me so that even if something does happen to the other leg, I can still drive. Yeah. There's ways and means.
Yeah.
And you say, well, do you want... You have a list here. I don't necessarily... It's up to you whether you want to go through... I can't... You list the things you can't have.
You say
I can't get a mortgage.
Oh, yeah. So, to get a mortgage, you need to be able to have... Now, I haven't actually applied for one, but to get a mortgage, you need to be able to get, like, life insurance. Okay? I am not a safe bet for anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Children wouldn't be an issue for me. One of the main things for me, like... In later life, I never actually wanted children, but one of my greatest fears is to be a burden for someone. So I'm in the hospital, in and out of the hospital a lot of the time, and I see people who are much, much older than me, but with similar problems to me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm 35. The people that I might be sitting across from could be, you know, 65 or 75. And, you know, they have family members with them, or they have to have somebody who minds them and looks after them all the time. Like, there's very little independence. That, to me, is just a nightmare. Like, if that's in my future, that's a nightmare for me. So I have to, what I'm left with, I have to maintain.
Okay.
I have to get as healthy as I can.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep on top of things. And that's motivation enough for me to keep on top of things. But it was all through my decision to get better. And that's the point I'm trying to make. I'm veering from it. It really is
okay.
up to the person themselves.
Okay. With help?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you can do it on your
own.
But if somebody with an eating disorder isn't willing to make that decision, it's pointless putting them in hospital. It's pointless sending them to therapists.
Yeah.
Because the switch needs to be changed.
Stay with us, Emer and Eileen. Joe at rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're continuing the conversation on calls being received about eating disorders. Now, Marion is on the line. Marion, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
And you begin... Okay, tell us your story, please.
Okay, I mean, I had no notion of ringing, except I just heard that lady. Mm-hmm. I think her name was Eileen.
Eileen, yeah.
And she said she was 66.
That's
and
right.
And she has a very sweet tooth, and she's having trouble. Now, basically, just to make it very short, I'm the same age.
Okay.
I had trouble with my weight all my adult life.
Okay.
I ended up with a serious heart condition, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And about 2.5 years ago, my cardiologist told me I was really in a bad way, and I knew it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he more or less told me I could go at any minute. No, and he said I had to lose the weight. No,
okay.
He didn't say anything I hadn't heard before.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't say anything I didn't know. I had even tried, I had gone to Loughlinstown.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know they have a weight management clinic there.
Yeah.
I was one of the few people who gained weight while I was there. But essentially what happened was I heard the cardiologist. And there were a couple of things that changed for me. One of them was I had a problem with fluid retention, but that was due to my heart condition. He helped me, you know, get a handle on that. So once I actually got home, that day I decided I can either do this or not.
Okay.
I've been telling myself for 40 years I'll lose weight. I had sometimes lost weight only to gain it again. And I said, I will do it now or stop kidding myself. So what I did was, I had been reading a bit about, now I'm not a scientist, but I've been reading a bit about the gut microbiome, which there is beginning to be a lot of talk about. And basically the bacteria in your gut determining so much of your physical and mental health, apparently.
Okay.
And I started realizing, I had done, as part of my social work training, I had done a placement in the Rutland Centre a very long time ago, dealing with addiction issues, and of course food can be
great
addictive
place,
as well. And basically, I remember them saying, you know, the man takes a drink and then the drink takes a drink. And it hit me that that's what's happening. That's what was happening with me. I was taking sugar. And then, if this makes any sense, the sugar in me was craving sugar.
Yeah.
The sugar-loving microbes or microorganisms in my gut were craving sugar. That's the only way I could explain it to myself. That there was something in me craving the sugar. I had to stop feeding them.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Did you have to replace the sugar?
Yeah, what I did was, first of all, I cut out wheat. I just cut out wheat out of my diet, and that sounds really hard, and it was, but I knew this wasn't going to be easy. I had tried everything else. I now cut out wheat, and that took with it a lot of the sugars and the fats. So no bread, no cakes, no biscuits.
Mm.
No chocolate at that time. But I could eat, you know, any really good food, I could eat as much as I wanted. And I started replacing my sugar craving, meeting it, if you like, with stuff like dates.
Mm.
I didn't like dates before, but I found dates and sweet potatoes when, you know, they were enough to keep.
And was
my...
was this all under medical supervision, so to speak, Marion? Your cardiologist or whatever?
Well, not exactly, no. I mean, I was still seeing the cardiologist. I saw him kind of 3 weeks after I started this, but then I didn't see him until 6 months later.
Okay.
I also started going to a physiotherapist, a really good physiotherapist. I'm now still going via Zoom, and I started doing exercise sessions. Now, at the beginning, I could barely walk. Mm-hmm. Right now, I can exercise for an hour. I've lost 8.5 stone. I've kept it off. I lost 8.5 stone over the course of 2 years. And this was, you know, I mean, I had no gastric band. I didn't go to a slimming club. I'm now back eating chocolate, but carefully.
Mm.
I have, you know, the odd glass of wine. I've just managed to change my eating habits.
Okay, well done. Yeah.
So, you know, with the support of my husband, and it's not just me, another family member moved back at the beginning of October and has since lost 5.5 stone. So there's something about the way that we have changed, and we're eating really well.
Okay.
But there's something about the way we're doing it that, to my mind, is worth looking at, because it's working for us.
Okay.
And the reason I'm getting on the radio is to say, this has worked for me,
and it can,
I mean,
work.
It might work for somebody else.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It was as simple as, I said, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. I cannot eat anything processed.
Okay.
I cannot eat anything with wheat in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm gluten intolerant or whatever, but it was just, this needed to be easy. It needed to be simple.
Okay, so...
So I cut out pasta, I cut out biscuits,
okay.
I cut out cakes. Just gone.
So from what you're saying, it was like you decided, there are certain things in this life that I know I can do, and certain things in this life I know I can't do.
That's it.
And it's almost like saying, I can't play the piano, so I'm not even going to ever try playing the piano, but I'm not going to beat myself up over it. So I can't be eating bread, and I can't be eating wheat-based products or sugar, and just get on with that. That is, life has dealt you that hand.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I had come across a Stoic philosopher. I don't know if you've heard of him, Epictetus.
Mm-hmm.
And Epictetus said, say what it is that you will be, and then do what it is that you must do. And a friend of mine said, that's the same as saying, just flipping do it. And I thought, that's it, just flipping do it. Enough with the messing and telling myself, I'll start next Monday, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. I just made the decision and went with it. And focused on myself and thought, I'm going to do what works for me. Now, I have a lot of support from my husband, But I wasn't going to a dietitian. I know all the stuff, Joe, and people who have had this battle, trust me, they know what they should be doing. It's just to find the help One lady there, I just heard her while I was on hold, saying about motivation, about a switch. It's finding that switch. And for me, the switch was when I said, take out the wheat. And when I did that, take out the wheat, take out the chocolate. And as I said, I'm back eating chocolate, but in a very, I wouldn't even say controlled way. It's just in a normal way now.
Okay.
Not in a way that I have to sit and eat the whole bar.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm going on with
that. No,
length,
I'll just check in with Eileen and Emer. But Eileen, does anything there that Marion's saying ring a bell for you? Or?
You see, I'm not too sure now, Joe, if I am repeating myself when I said about the doctor sending me off last year, and I just it hasn't clicked with me yet to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
There's nothing is, maybe if I got a heart attack, God forbid, that maybe then I might wake up and realise that I have to do this, do you know? But otherwise,
and are you, Eileen, given that, as you say, your problem is with chocolate and sweets, like, would, when you see an ad on telly or whatever for chocolate, would that Because some of the ads are incredibly seductive for chocolate. Mm-hmm. Would that spark you?
It would. It could. It definitely would and could. And as I say, if I had a bar of chocolate in the house and I had been off them for, we'll say, 3 months and take that square, I'd finish the bar and I'd actually drive to town and stock up then.
And then at Easter when they were selling, I think, was it 5 Easter eggs for a fiver in Tesco? Mm-hmm.
No, I've absolutely no mess on Easter eggs, Joe, because I tell you, the chocolate is so thin in them I nearly have to put the whole lot of it into my mouth to get the satisfaction.
And Emer, did what Marion say? Well, what Marion was saying resonated with a lot of what you were saying.
Very much. What Marion said was that she made a conscious decision that she was going to do this. And this is the point that I'm trying to make in relation to an eating disorder. There is so much... Well, there's not so much, but there is help from outside, your family, your friends, doctors, whatever else. But if you don't actually hear what the doctor says, hear what your family say, hear what you are saying yourself, and if you don't make that decision to make a change, you can't.
Okay. Eileen, stay well. As Marion said, and Emer said as well, you've taken a step today.
Yeah.
Don't be hard on yourself and reach out and... You've done it before.
And start again and do it again.
You will do it again.
Joe, before I go, can I just... I know you don't do requests, but this is just for a woman. Her name is Kathleen Healy. She's in Glebe Lodge in Cass Island, and I just want to wish her well. She loves Donald O'Donnell, and hopefully when all this will finish... that it will be over, just to the staff and the residents.
And how do you know Kathleen, Eileen?
Because I work there.
You're very good. And you're so typical of you. You finish your conversation by thinking of others. So well done. Eileen, you mind yourself. Good person.
Eimear
Gilroy and Marion. Back after this. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.